You're listening to your NBA podcast with David and Kane.
I felt like we should switch it back.
You're listening.
That was a charm to it.
You be quiet. You'll be quiet. Why? Read their intro. You're listening to your NBA podcast with Larry O'Brien.
Putting me on blast right at the top, man. Just like coming out fiery. Just because my Lightning beat your Rangers in the NHL, right?
I don't care anything about Rangers. They beat the Leafs.
Yeah, okay. They also beat the Leafs, yeah. Three-time Eastern champions. Let's go. This is the team I'm really rooting. This is the real finals I'm watching. Ice hockey.
One more and they can beat the Nets too.
Yeah, let's relax.
Tampa Bay, three in a row now. Championship. You take the floor.
They won. They're in the finals. They could win the champ. I don't know who they who are they up against.
No, they won.
No, they beat the Rangers.
They won. Wait, it's not the finals?
No, they just beat the Rangers to get. They just Eastern Conference champs. The finals is starting now.
I literally wanted to ask you, what's up with ESPN and NHL? Because I saw that Tampa Bay won against the Rangers. And I thought that was the Stanley Cup finals.
But they're both Eastern Conference teams. How did you not know
that? Is it Eastern? Okay, that makes sense. I don't know. I think I stopped tuning in after they beat the Leafs.
Well, I mean, Rangers are a big team, right?
This makes sense, because I thought they won the Stanley Cup, but I was like, how can they not have... And today on ESPN, it was plaster. It was like UFC on the front pages. And I was like what the fuck's wrong with them? Like, why is... I'm expecting massive graphic custom homepage of, Tampa Bay's, three-peat championship. And then I even went to, the NHL, section of ESPN. I was like, there's no hero graphics? What's up with this?
Yeah, okay. You have lockdown brain, clearly.
Lockdown brain. Look, I have reading disability among other disabilities. Okay, so just please don't make fun of me. It's mental illness. I should be celebrated.
Yeah, they didn't.
I should be celebrated.
You thought they locked down the city, but they just put a lockdown around you.
Yeah, right. That's right. I blame this on my mental illness, and it's courageous. I'm a hero.
Also, I have a bad...
I guess I'm a hero.
Also, I have a bad back.
I have a bad back.
I'm talking about my back hurts.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, look, my mind's a little foggy. I'm sorry for getting this excited about Tampa Bay this early. I thought it was... if they had won the Stanley Cup...
It's still a feat. Getting to three finals with a chance of three-peating. That's pretty... even if they... I don't know... How good the other team is. It Colorado the best thing? Avalanche?
The Avalanche.
I mean, I'm sure they're a good team because they're in the finals, but I think it's a good enough feat just getting the three times and winning two of them. That's good. That's great.
That's fair enough.
Fair enough.
I think. Yep. I mean, I haven't watched a single second on the ice, but the highlights look impressive.
Let's get back to the NBA. The series tied 2-2. What's surprising to you? What's your takeaway thus far?
I just think, if the Celtics lose, they're going to so regret giving up. Because you're right, in four games, even though the Warriors have won two or half of those four games, I have no confidence in Warriors. The Celtics could win the next two, and it wouldn't surprise me. They've just looked that much stronger. And we can talk about game four, because that's the one freshest in our mind. But that was, they had everything going for them that game. It was a close game. They were riding high. They beat they won the third quarter. Everything was going right for the Celtics, and somehow they let their game lose. So, I kind of want to drill into that closely because it really speaks to me. Before we get into that, who did you have as your MVP? You didn't write down MVP. Who you predict as the Finals MVP?
Well, I didn't write my choice because I thought if I pick the Celtics, it's going to be obvious. It's got to be Jason Tatum, so yeah. I didn't think necessary to write it.
Okay.
But can you put down my choice right now? I'm going to pick Jaylen Brown.
You can't change your pick four games in. That's not how it works.
Wait.
I get to change my pick because I picked Klay Thompson. Okay, fine. I'm going to write you down as Jaylen Brown. And I'm going to change my pick to Steph Curry because let me get into this.
Wait. Can I pick Steph Curry?
No, because...
No joke. Oh, okay. I can't pick Steph Curry, right?
Well,
I have to pick the MVP from the team that I picked. If I pick the Celtics, then I have to pick the MVP from Celtics?
You can hedge your bets. MVP is isolated. It's just a tiebreaker.
Right. Well, it's Steph Curry then.
It's pointless. It's not a tiebreaker. We pick the same pick.
Okay. So let's...
Fuck it. Just fuck it then. Obviously... Okay. No.
You stick with your choice.
I'm deleting it. Because you know what? You didn't write a name down. I basically didn't put a name down. So let's just scrap it. There's no point. We'll think of a different way if it's a tiebreaker.
Put Jason Tatum then. Like, no. That's what I was thinking, right?
I don't care what you were thinking.
Well, who was I going to pick? I was going to pick Grant Williams?
Nah, fuck it. No, I deleted it. No, I deleted it. It's not important.
Daniel Theis.
He hasn't played a single minute. Bench contributor. Let's say Celtics win the next two games, and Steph continues to play. He's been the leading point scorer in every single game. Even if the Celtics win the next two games, is it possible? Is it possible that Steph wins the Finals MVP still? Continuing this the current level of play, like, I'm not saying, like, you know, Jason Tatum suddenly scores 50 points and 50, you know, like, nothing like that. Like, based on the current play, based on how the Celtics are looking, they look more motivated, they look stronger, they look more physical and more fast. Is this, like, current play, at this current play, with Steph scoring the way he's scoring, will he win Finals MVP even if they lose in six?
I think it'll be very difficult. You know, if this was a fair award, of course LeBron should get it every finals.
What, still, even though he's not in the finals?
No.
LeBron comes out of nowhere.
You know what? You laugh at that, but I'm reminding me of the first year against the Warriors, when LeBron was literally, like, it was literally LeBron versus the Golden State Warriors. And literally, the second best player was Dellavedova. The third best player was who? Like, Timothy Mozgov. And LeBron was scoring, like, 40 points, 50 points a game. He was by far the best player in that series. And still, he didn't get it. I don't think he got close to getting it. I think he got, like, you know, two votes or three votes. So I think the NBA has, and the journalist community has established that we have to give the Finals MVP to the winning team.
Mm.
Even though Jerry West did win it as a player on the losing team back in the 60s.
Yeah, so this kind of, I think this kind of plays to the point. It's a narrative story. The MVP, regardless of Finals MVP or regular season MVP, it's a narrative, okay? Jerry West got that after 9 consecutive final appearances. They were like 0-8. one of eight in Jerry West's career. Yeah, and he eventually got one of them, losing 7 games to the Celtics. Now, I think, right. I do believe that, yes, Steph Curry should, even if the Warriors lose in 7, I think Steph Curry should get it, given the current, like, state of play. And why I believe that Steph Curry will get it at the current play is because the narrative dictates Steph Curry has been, forgotten as one of the great final. It's just like you look back at all the Warriors runs and you're like, oh, okay, it's Iguodala, it's Kevin Durant. Oh, you know, Draymond would have won it, or, you know, some shit in 2016. If, you know, it's like, let's be honest, like, in all 4 of those Finals MVPs, Steph Curry was the second best player, like, isn't for the Warriors squad in every single one. If it wasn't for Iguodala, then Steph Curry would have won. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you know. Now, I'm not saying that Steph Curry by himself, if he didn't have those plays, would have won the finals. And we can make all these different things. But right now, Steph Curry doesn't have anyone. He doesn't have Draymond. Draymond is, we can talk about Draymond, but he's useless.
0.0.
He scored 2 points. He scored an easy layup or put back dunk in game 4. And that was his 2-point contribution. He was 1 of 9 that game. In that game 4 win. I don't know what happened. In 2016, he scored 32 points in game 7. 32 points. He's outscored Klay and Steph in game 7. And now, look where we are now. 2 points. Okay, so Klay has been pedestrian. Jordan Poole has disappeared.
Oh my god.
Andrew Wiggins has been good and been really solid for this for the Warriors, but like he's not a scorer. It's just, it's been Steph. It's Steph all this time, and I agree with you. Maybe LeBron should have been had more votes in 2015, but I think the point is it was a game six. Maybe, you know, he got some votes. That's pretty good for a losing player. He got some votes. So maybe if he got to a game seven with what he was working with, and he should have, you know, had a bigger chance of winning it. Now, I think with Steph and the narrative that he hasn't won a finals MVP, it's been something that's been dominating the headlines for weeks now, basically. Like, how is Steph going to show up in the finals? How is he going to respond to, you know, defeat after defeat? He keeps rebounding and he keeps scoring. He keeps leading in the game in every score. Like, what more do you want him to do? This team, like as we both agreed, does not look even matched. The Celtics are better, like in every facet, in my opinion, except when it comes to the star player, where it's meant to be Tatum versus Curry. And in that, this is why it's 2-2, because Curry has taken his team above and beyond when they need him, scoring, you know, 30, 40, you know, I think he's averaging like 33, I'm just guessing here, like 33 points a game. And Jason Tatum's averaging 33% from the field. Like, Jason Tatum, when you need him, is not delivering. And Jason Tatum's been awesome in the postseason, and he won the, what is it, Larry Bird MVP for the Eastern Conference.
What the fuck is that?
Eastern Conference. But he has not shown up. He's played one good game. That's it. And he's meant to be a superstar. I'm just saying he's meant to be a superstar.
Exactly. Like, I'm not saying that he's not a great player, because obviously
he is. Yeah.
The reason why they win is because they have to put so much attention on containing Jason Tatum. But at the same time, this is not like a player that's, you know, has elevated and blown out the door off. You know, he'll score like 17 points in the first quarter or first half, and then like in the second half go for like 2 for 18, or, you know, and finish with like 25, 30
points. He scored 7 points in game four in the second half.
And he'll have like 5 turnovers, 6 turnovers. So that's why, like, you know, if you were fair about it and let me have my real finals MVP choice, I would have picked, if I had to pick a player on the Celtics, it would be maybe Jaylen Brown even.
Mm.
I agree with you. It's narrative driven. But do you think this is going to be the year where the writers, because it's not just, you can't just convince one writer, right? You would have to convince basically all the writers that this is a narrative driven finals. We can't let this moment sort of just get lost in the history books. We have to elevate Steph. Give Steph something where he'll be remembered for, like, his heroics in this series.
I think so. Like, I think this is similar to 2015, where clearly, like you said, LeBron was the best player on that court. Clearly. And in this series, like, it's clearly Steph. Like, who on the Warriors can you actually count on to do anything?
No one.
Like, Wiggins is... Not even Steve Kerr, honestly.
He's good.
Only Wiggins is, I would say, is good. Like, when I look at Wiggins, I'm like, okay, he's good. Like, he knows what he's doing. No one else I can depend on. It's like, no one else. Like, of course, Clay is playing...
I mean, Jordan Poole is mid-level exception contract player right now.
Sure. Like, he's lost a lot of money. Like, Clay is trying his best, but, like, I said this to you in text, like, he looks like a scared boy. He doesn't look like he wants to attack the Celtics defense. You know, he doesn't want... He used to be so good at driving and kicking and going out and shooting with purpose and moving with purpose, like an actual shooting guard, like moving around, getting in spots. But now he just seems like he wants to stand there and just be a, like, you know, a stationary shooter. And when he attacks, he doesn't seem like he's attacking with that same athleticism that he was before. I don't know if that's because of his injury, or he's scared of his injury, or, you know, the Celtics defense just like that great. But, you know, he was going against Payton Pritchard, and he's just like shooting like a 3-ball over him. Like, attack him. Like, this dude is at least six inches shorter than you. Like, Klay Thompson's not a short dude. He's like 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", I think. And was Payton Pritchard, like 6 foot or whatever. The fact that Payton Pritchard is able to contain Klay Thompson tells me a lot about where Klay Thompson's head is at. And him scoring 18 points compared to what Steph Curry is contributing for your team out there, 43 points, it's like, this is not good enough. This is a max level player. He's your second superstar. And then Draymond, the other max player, how many points did he score? 2 points in game four.
Oh my God.
He scored, I think, a disaster. It's a disaster. And all the shots he's putting up is because the Celtics would not defend him. He's not worth offensive player. I think in game four, because Robert Williams went out, I think in the second, like fourth quarter or something, Robert Williams went out. Robert Williams could not be stopped by Kevin Looney or Draymond Green. Like Robert Williams was doing whatever he wanted on that court, like offensive rebounding and defense. He was swatting shots. He was just feasting out there. But when he went off, that's when the Warriors went on the run. Robert Williams is probably the best player. Is actually like the most impactful player for the Celtics. He does so much. And if he wasn't injured, the Celtics probably would have swept, or they'll be up 3-1 at least at this point.
Right.
The fact that Robert Williams isn't in the lineup consistently and he's like dealing with a like knee issue that's like hobbling, like, you know, slowing him down is such a big advantage to the Warriors. And because this is no one that can stop him. So the fact that, you know, they like no one can stop this and like the injured center, no one can depend to score apart from Steph Curry. No one is like, they don't have a player that can play offense and defense at the same time. It used to be Klay Thompson, but he can't do it anymore. It's just Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is not the greatest defensive player either, but they have no choice but to play him as many minutes as they can because he's the only one producing anything. And if they somehow even miraculously got to game seven, I think they will get a game seven, but like even if they lose game seven, I just think Steph Curry deserves it. Like for all the stupid media people like slandering his name. Like I'm not saying he's the best. Like I don't think he's a goat or anything, but to kind of like belittle him because he hasn't won Finals MVP is really stupid. You know, this guy is a three-time champ. He's a three-time champ for a reason. You know, there's a reason why KD wanted to play with him.
This series has been a showcase of Steph. Any doubters, any haters, I don't think after this series he can say anything. You got to be silenced. I mean, more than silenced, you have to come to grips with the fact that Steph is an all-time player.
Yeah.
Because he's doing what LeBron did with those Cavs team, where clearly it's just all the other players on Steph's back.
Mm.
And he's literally carrying this team. And without Steph, I mean, this team would be getting blown out 20, 30 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get, like, instead of 2 points from Draymond, without Steph, you're going to get, like, 4 points from Draymond. Right? You know, Clay's going to give you 20. Like, literally, this team can't score 50 points.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, Jordan Poole, is he a mid-level exception player at this point? Like, seriously. I know he's going to get more than that, but I'm saying...
He's not looking good. He's losing a lot of money, for sure.
You know, this is not a player where you look at another team is looking at Jordan Poole and go, yeah, we need to give this guy max money. Give keys to the franchise to him.
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
right?
No way.
Because this is what you're paying for. You're paying for playoff success. A player to take your team there, to put your team on his back, to take you to the promised land. And Jordan Poole has shown that he can't do that right now.
I think, yeah. I mean, he's still young. Like, I think he is a role player, ultimately. And he was playing above a role player, like where he was sixth man of the year and most improved player, like he was getting into that category. And because he was getting that category, people were starting to think, what if we gave him more on his plate? What if we put more on his plate? And, you know, again, against the Mavs, against the Grizzlies, it seemed like when he gave him more responsibilities, he was able to produce still. And now it's like against the Celtics, a team that is just ferocious on defense, he's kind of shrunk down. So if I was his agent, I would say, look, scratch the finals. The Celtics are not the Celtics. They're a unique opponent. You look at what he did in every other series, and he scored a lot of points. He was his leading scorer in some playoff games. So max, of course, no one is crazy to give him max. You're not building a franchise around Jordan Poole. But I think his agent is going to be smart enough to like isolate the performances in the finals and say, look what he did against these other teams. Then not every team's going to be he's going to be playing 29 against 29 teams, you know, for your team. That's not the Celtics. Look what he's done against teams that are not the Celtics, okay? Like, he deserves at least, I don't know, the mid-level exception, okay? I'll be honest. He gets the mid-level exception. No, he gets like more. He gets like 15 to 20 mil at least.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
He's in Dinwiddie range, okay? And with the revenue and the way, we don't have to talk this salary cap shit, but yeah, he's gonna get paid, eh? Like, let's put it that way. He's gonna get paid.
Oh, no doubt. Look, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he looks like he's mid-level exception. Oh, okay. You get mid-level exception. Like you said, he's in that Dinwiddie range. Give him 15. Give him 20 million, I think. You know, I think that's... You know, when it's all said and done, we have to remember that, yes, there's also 82 games in the regular season, so you need a Jordan Poole for those games as well. That's real value there. You can't, like, be playing Steph 40 minutes for 82 games and then a deep playoff run. But I guess what I'm saying is, prior to the playoffs, people are looking at Jordan Poole and saying, whoa, is this a franchise player? What a different team. Are the Warriors going to have to max him because of the danger of another team offering him a max?
Yeah, there's no reason for Jordan Poole to sign an extension. He's still got another year in his rookie contract. We just talked about because he's extension eligible from, like, this season was his extension eligible year, which he could have, like you said, could have signed the max extension, which is $100 or $200 million for 5 years, $190 million for 5 years. And we're saying, okay, so what is that? That's 20, that's 40. I can't even do the maths. 30-something million dollars, basically. $36 million per year, basically. Something like that. So you want us to pay you $36 million when, like, really you're only worth $15 million? Like, that's the discrepancy. That's how much money he's losing right now in the finals, basically. Because $190 million, that's like Ben Simmons' range. That's like Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Luka Doncic. Are you a franchise player like those players? Like, I know Ben Simmons, yeah, but before the whole Philadelphia saga, he was a franchise player. Like, let's be honest, he was all-star, multiple all-defensive team. Like, Jordan Poole is not on that level. So you want us to pay you that much because you're that great of an offensive player? Well, no, because clearly, you know, we're all human with human eyes that can watch the game or listen to the game. He's not replicating what a max player can do for you. If he was a max player, like, if he was a legit max player, look what the Warriors got. They got Steph, they got Clay, they got Draymond, they got Poole, they got Wiggins. If these guys are all, like, legit max players, of course, this team would destroy the Celtics, but they're not, because these guys that got maxes aren't actually worth maxes. And I credit the Warriors organization for paying the players, something the Celtics don't do, but, you know, right now it's unfortunately biting them in the ass. Like, the talent seems a little bit shallow compared to the Celtics right now.
Well, I mean, they do have Kuminga for their future, but I mean, at the same time,
the future's bright. The future's bright.
Is it bright though?
I mean, Moody's shown some flashes. Kuminga, like you said.
Well, he hasn't played like a single minute.
Well, not in the postseason, but in the regular season. Well, he has played some postseason minutes, but yeah.
Kuminga is definitely... I've seen Kuminga play in the playoffs, like, a spare minute, so he looks good.
He looks good. I mean...
Obviously, he looks like a player that can develop into something maybe special. But beyond that, I mean, they have massive contracts with Draymond and...
Wiseman.
Well, Wiseman's a total write-off. I mean, he's not worth anything.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't trade for Wiseman.
Yeah, sure, okay. I'm still saying he's the pedigree second overall pick, so he just hasn't played.
No,
he's
but they're not gonna beyond not just play, like, they can't trade him at this point.
Yeah, of course, as not. In, they wouldn't trade him.
They'll get no value.
Value's too low. Yeah, let me double.
Because what's his next contract? He's not a max player. Like, they're not gonna max him.
No. He's got 2 more years. He's got next year, which is at 25, and then he's got play option at 27, at 30. But he's only 33 years old. Like, in this current age, like, 33 isn't that old age. 33, like, you can still...
Forget the age. Look at the product on the floor.
I know. What I'm saying is his playing style has reduced his prime significantly. Because 31, 32 is usually your prime still, like, in current NBA. But he's really dropped off a cliff where he can't even shoot threes. Like, when you see people that can't even get lift to shoot threes, like, these are grown-ass men that are only 32 years of age. Like, they've done some serious damage to their bodies where they can't even shoot a three, like, anymore. It's kind of sad. Because this guy was, like, not a great three, but he was capable. Like, he was wide open. He's at, like, he would hit an open three.
For sure, but he hasn't been able to shoot for a couple of years now, and even a couple of years ago.
But he was in. He's been injured. He was injured, and like, you know, in and out and stuff too.
Yeah, and then people were saying, oh, maybe it's just a motivation issue because he's been playing really well this season. But then, you know, when you're making deep playoff runs, your body catches up if you're not LeBron shape. And I think this is the problem. You look at 32, 33, and you think, ah, that's not too old. Because, you know, who's your frame of reference? You're like thinking LeBron James or someone. But, you know, that's one of one. Because the way I see it, it's like I look at Draymond and I look at James Harden. And you say they're 32, 33, as if, you know, they got plenty of years. I take the opposite view. I say, holy shit, if they're like this at 32, 33, imagine them in 2 years' time. Well, I mean, they're not going to be able to move.
Wasn't Kyle Lowry just like signed to like a new deal?
You say that, but Kyle Lowry,
oh God,
he's been durable, right?
How long have you been sucking his dick, honestly? Like, much money is he paying you? Fuck.
You be careful, though. That's a champ you're talking about. Champ.
Whoa, Draymond's a champ. James Harden is... Okay, no, not James Harden.
Well, I think it's a little bit different because Kyle Lowry, he's 37. So if you can get to 37 and show that you're able to still play at, you know, a relatively high level, then I think you've gotten over the hump. I think it's the players that are in that after 30 range, but before 35, where you're not sure, it can go either way, right? It's like it feels like they're breaking down. They're not in shape anymore. But certainly, you know, if I look at James Harden, like what he's got no track record for keeping, you know, himself in shape.
Well, you know, we'll see. Obviously, because this offseason is a pivotal point to your argument, because James Harden is waiting to sign a max extension, and we don't know yet what what Philly is going to give James Harden. So he could sign a max still. You know, he could. Like, it would be a surprise, but he could still sign a max.
I'll say this. If he signs a max, if I was the Nets, I would immediately contact the league office and I would demand a first-round pick.
We got it. We got a first-round pick. We got Philly's next.
Another one from tampering.
Another one.
For tampering.
Another one.
That's tampering. Who in the right minds would give James Harden a max contract? If he gets a max contract, that's a wink-wink deal. That's what it's called. A wink-wink deal. And if I was the Nets front office...
Well, it would be fishy, but I think Adam Silver will be like, oh, okay, like, are you fucking serious? He might even say in his press conference...
Veto it.
I was like, that... What? They gave James Harden that much? Fucking idiots. Fucking...
I'll tell you one thing. If this is Dave Stern's league still, David Stern will nip that right in the bud. No can do.
Well,
no can do.
There would have been a lot of things that have been nipped in the bud. No KD, probably no James Harden trade to the Nets.
He like canceled the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Like he would have nipped a lot of things in the
bud. But anyway, to get back on the Warriors, I think, I mean, look, if they win the championship, it's kind of like a reset. If they don't win the championship, I think it might be very hard for them to get back into this position again.
I guess like I could also make the point that the Warriors win this finals, the actual one that they weren't supposed to win, and you know, then they could just ride off to the sunset. Steph is like, I won my fourth chip. I could retire even.
If they win this one, it's house money. Then just erase everything I've said. It's the same situation, but ironically, it would not feel like that at all. It would feel like everything's icing on the cake.
Yeah. But like, you flip it, like on the Celtics, like they could have been up 3-1 easily in the series, easily. Like, I'm surprised that given how strong the Celtics are, that they aren't up 3-1. It's a travesty that they got this to 2-2, where the Warriors got home court advantage for the final three games. If the Celtics somehow manage to slip this up and not win, I don't know if they can even get back to the finals. Okay, we talk about the path to the finals and they're getting past the Heat, they got past the Bucks, they got past the Nets. There's massive caveats all throughout this, like all throughout every one of the series. You can make huge excuses for how the Celtics got over it. The Celtics beat the Heat. despite them like basically trying to give the game away in Game 7. Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. It looked like the Celtics were trying to give away
They were up by double digits.
Give away the game. Yeah, they're up by double digits. Look, I know why people are so high on the Celtics having multiple runs is because they got all their big three locked up for multiple years. They got Jason Tatum, they got Jaylen Brown, they got Marcus Smart locked up for long contract extensions. I think Jaylen Brown's up for a new contract sooner, but I mean, he could re-up it. He's only 25 years old. But you could look at, you could make the same case with the Thunder, who had much higher ceiling.
Oh, way higher. So crazy.
Crazy. Crazy high.
Like the Thunder, literally the team that you saw, you thought, oh, they lost to the Heat? No race. This team's going to be back in the finals for the next decade.
And, you know, I mean, we don't have to talk about it. Like, we know what happened. They all broke up. I'm not saying the Celtics have that same, like, that same ego. Because I actually do think that they fit better, the personalities. But you just never know. You just never know what happens when a final loss affects you like this. Especially one that would be as heartbreaking as this. Because the Celtics should have won this if they had lost this one. You don't know. You really don't know how this affects them emotionally. You don't know if ego starts to play, Marcus Smart is, you know, get 28. What happens when he gets to 29, 30? The tread on his tires might get exposed. He's got multiple years. They can't re-sign multiple players. Al Horford's gone. Robert Williams, who knows? Because his injury history isn't good right now, and it's continued to be bad, unfortunately. Even though he's such an impactful player, he...
Unfortunately, that's why he dropped in the lottery.
Yeah, that's why he dropped. He's had injuries throughout his entire year, and he got a really reasonable contract from the Celtics because of his injury history. And he's looked great, but you can't depend on it. He was out the fourth quarter of Game 4, and that's the only reason that they lost the game, apart from Jason Tatum not stepping up. They wouldn't have mattered. If Robert Williams was in that game, they would have won Game 4, honestly. So... Look, you can make the same case for the Celtics needing to win this and, you know, setting them up for the future runs, because you just don't know how this emotionally impacts the franchise. Having said that, I think they will win. I'll still put it out there.
How many games? Give it to me. How many games?
Look, I'll be surprised if this. Yeah, I'll be surprised if the Celtics don't win in six. Celtics won one game. Like, look, Celtics. Won game one, then they lost game two. They won game three, lost game four. They'll win game five. And then I think the Warriors will just be too exhausted by then. And Celtics will win game six. It's a tough game six. I'm not saying like it has been like it's the games have been pretty good. Like it's just been bad fourth quarters, to be honest. It's like the games overall have been pretty good. But yeah, I think the body blows to Steph Curry. Like it just seems like he has to work so hard. Like the only time he gets a shot is over two plays, and like the fucking tackling to the ground, and the refs aren't calling shit. I think it's just too tough. Like it's not saying Steph gets injured. Like he like breaks his knee or you know loses a foot or anything like serious like that. I actually give Celtics a lot of credit. Like I know statistically they're bad at closing out the season. Like all like regular season and postseason they've been bad in clutch times. But I just remind myself of the Celtics against the Nets. And the Celtics fucking dominated and clutched. Like, every game was close. Every single game was close. They only won by a margin of 19 for all four games. And that's the closest margin in any playoff series. And ironically, that's the only one that was a sweep. So, you know, you tell me, you know, like, is it unlucky? Or is it just the Celtics are that good at the crunch time where they can win? In crunch time.
No, that's not the answer. The answer is the Nets suck.
Well, they do suck, but I mean, the Celtics give the Celtics credit for, you know, scoring the points they need to do in the fourth quarter. Now, they didn't do that against the Bucks, and they didn't do that against the Heat, so yeah, maybe the Nets do suck. But I just, that's what I'm saying. I think I give too much credit to the Celtics' ability to close out games because I saw it against the Nets. And I just believe because the Celtics are just that much better than the Warriors and the Warriors look tired, and they look like they're, you know, getting beat up and like abused, and just they don't want to be there. And like they talk, the way they talk about being in Boston too, like being assaulted, like you don't want to give them that. That's fuel for the fans. Like these guys are fucking like rabid animals. They'll just like, you give them a little piece of meat, little morsel of, like a little morsel of food, and they'll fucking like just like hyenas. They'll just all jump over it and go rabid and, you know, go crazy over that little piece of, you know, food. And yeah, anyway. We'll see. The great games so far. I'm enjoying the games.
We've made our picks. You pick the Celtics in six. This is not our official pick. This is sort of our mid-series adjustment pick, but not our official pick. We will be graded on our original picks, of course.
I think, yeah, just after four games, I think the Celtics are the better team.
I agree. The Celtics are better team. I'm still going to pick the Warriors in seven. You pick the Celtics in six. Okay, Kane. It's another week. I guess we would have our winner by the next podcast. And afterwards, neither you nor I will be celebrating because we don't, as far as I know, we don't like either the Warriors nor the Celtics.
I mean, there's no, like, I don't think there's any team that I dislike more than Warriors and the Celtics, like, in the last 10 years.
So I want to end our podcast this week with a little teaser maybe for the offseason. Now, one of the news this week is that the Hornets are going to sign Kenny Atkinson. And I've heard another interesting trade tidbit. What do you think about Kyrie Irving?
Shut up.
This is a serious trade idea. For Terry Rozier.
What?
And Gordon Hayward.
No. Terrible.
So how this trade will work is you send Kyrie to the Lakers. The Lakers send Westbrook to the Hornets, and the Hornets send Rozier and Hayward to the Nets. What do you think?
I don't want two injured, like, I have enough problem with one injured player. I don't want two injured, like, subpar, over-the-hill players. And Westbrook and LaMelo on the same team? It's just disaster.
Can't work. No good.
I think, honestly, the Lakers have to, like, dig deep and give their...
Donovan Mitchell for Kyrie Irving.
Done deal. Bring it.
Done? Oh, my God.
Let's get it done.
Let's replace our 6-foot player with, like, a 5'11" player. Let's just have even worse defense than we had this postseason.
Oh, well, we have Ben Simmons. Stupid.
That's true. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, wow. I kind of do like it because I like Donovan Mitchell playing shooting guard better than Kyrie Irving. That might hog the ball too much. Like, I want Ben Simmons setting up the deep. Like, Kevin Durant was playing point guard way too much. So, if we could have a proper point guard, which is Ben Simmons, distributing to, you know, Donovan Mitchell, who's a better shooter than Kyrie and Kevin Durant on the wing, then I think that is a better team. But you can't underestimate the relationship that Kyrie and Kevin Durant have. And you don't know what kind of strain that the organization Kevin Durant will kind of create because they traded his best friend from the team for Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, look, Katie, if you wanna go FaceTime your friends, you can do that after the game. Okay, give me the truth. Kyrie Irving for Zach LaVine.
No, definitely no. That's a hard no.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Zach LaVine is nowhere near on the same level as Kyrie or Donovan Mitchell.
I'm not even sure that Bulls say yes to that. Like, I'm not joking. I don't think that Bulls will say
yes. I agree. I don't think either will. Yeah, that's just a bad trade idea. I don't think either will say yes.
Kyrie Irving for Brunson. What's his first name? I don't even know his first name.
Maybe Kyrie Irving for Luka Doncic and we can talk.
Luka Doncic.
Well, why? Why?
No. These are rumors. These
Jalen
are rumors.
Brunson. No.
Look, these are real rumors. What I'm saying is I'm not comparing. Like,
I'm telling you, no. I don't care if they're real or not. I mean, I don't think they are, but I'm just telling you from a objective basketball fan that this is terrible, and Jalen Brunson is not even close to Kyrie Irving's level.
But the Nets are trying to offload Kyrie Irving, and they may not be able to get dollar for dollar. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you said Donovan Mitchell, so I'd rather take Donovan Mitchell over Jalen Brunson then.
Like, Kyrie is also not available for all 29 or 20, whatever, how many teams there are. Because you would only trade for him if you think that Kyrie is able to, will stay with your organization as well. So perhaps if you give them keys to Utah and you've got Danny Ainge is there. Well, I think he probably has an okay or a good relationship with Danny Ainge. Right? Danny's like, look, I burned my entire franchise to trade for you. You know, respect.
I don't know. The Donovan Mitchell one I like. The other ones are just insulting. And the Nets do not have to. Look, if this is the only situation where Kyrie doesn't want to be in Brooklyn, but I don't see it. Like, I think he wants to be in Brooklyn. He wants to sign a max. It's the Nets I don't want to be. If anything that's true, which is not true still, it's the Nets I don't want to give him the max.
Like, you saying that Kyrie wants to be in Brooklyn, he wants the max, is the equivalent of saying, is the equivalent of Spencer Dinwiddie saying that if he got $190 million, he would consider that, okay? The problem is that the offer is not there. It's not about Kyrie wanting max contract so they can take holidays on poor Joe Sy's. Poor Joe Sy's, innocent man, great poor, man, brilliant man.
Poor war monger.
You keep quiet. Don't attack his race. Don't attack him.
I'm not attacking
his race. For his culture.
Well, how come China is like, Taiwan is part of us, you know, we're one Chinese country. And then Taiwan's like, oh, we want to be independent. Huh, if you want to be independent, then we're going to give you war then. Why do they want to attack their own people then if they're all Chinese people?
Don't ask me. Don't ask me. Ask Joe Tsai, who's Taiwanese. He said one China, okay? One China. That's what he said.
I'm pretty sure Joe Tsai tweeted that out. War on Taiwan. And he's Taiwanese, by the way.
Look, I'm going to ignore these your deflections here, okay? I want to focus on the task at hand, which is that...
What, these fake...
If Kyrie gets moved.
Trade.
If...
ideas.
If Kyrie gets moved, it's not going to be because Kyrie wants out of Brooklyn. It's going to be because the Nets has made an executive decision, an organizational decision. And if they were to do that, you know, I've done my research, and this is the research I'm bringing to you. These are some of the names that are out there.
Right, right.
But, you know, you seem to dismiss this. You think that... You take this as insult. And what I'm saying is, yeah... From the Nets' perspective, they might not be able to, they won't be able to get dollar for dollar. And if it's two lesser players, but very serviceable players like a Terry Rozier and a Gordon Hayward, you're shaking your head. And I kind of agree with you on this point, that they're injury prone, so that's not going to help anybody.
Why don't we just trade for Kelly Olynyk and. And that. Delivered Dover, like, what? Look, I'll be the adult in this room, okay? I'll be honest, okay? Let's just say I'm glad that you're not the next GM, because you would run into the fucking ground. Fucking scorched earth.
Okay, look, it's not an easy job. I'm not disrespecting Sean Marks, and I'm not diminishing the difficulty of that job. Anyway, I don't take that as an insult. I'm not offended by that. I think it's a difficult job.
I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying, like, you'll be terrible at it if, you know, it's a job. That's all. Don't take it as an insult. Take it as a learning opportunity. That's all.
Okay. How would you move Kyrie? What would you get?
I won't move Kyrie. This is your problem. You're stuck. The job of a GM has to be creative. They have to think about every avenue and every possibility, and that doesn't mean like you have to move Kyrie. Like, he has some wacky ideas and some nuanced theories on life, but you know, just because someone has a different perspective on how to look at things doesn't mean you have to move him. You know, he isn't a problem, okay? Look, he's said some crazy things, but look, he's a genius. I'll put it that way. He really is a genius. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Look, I really don't care.
I'm just saying, you need to build a team. You can't just go after. Donovan Mitchell, we'll talk about him in the offseason when he gets traded. He gets traded for Jalen Brunson.
Why don't we talk about Kyrie in the offseason? Because I thought we agreed that we weren't talking about the Nets until the season finishes, and here we are.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to go and calm myself down now, Kane. Did you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
It's hard to be so excited about the ending of the finals when the postseason has been quite a marathon to watch. Like, it just hasn't been close games at all this entire postseason. So it just feels like this has dragged on. And I'm excited to see who wins because, you know, I genuinely kind of hope the Warriors beat the Celtics. Because I slightly prefer them over the Celtics. But at the same time, it's like, oh my God, just get it overdone with. It feels like it's been going for 6 months this postseason. And there's no game. There's really no game I can really hang my hat on to say this was the greatest game in the last 5 years.
Let's hope for an exciting finish to this season's NBA Finals. And then next week, we're going to have off-season preview. The Nets talk are going to be back. All the Nets fans, please gather, tune in.
Endless Nets.
Because I've got things to say. I've got my research and I've got things to say. Okay. Okay.
This summer, endless Nets talk. Here we go. Each episode, Kyrie trade possibilities. Part one, part two.
Until next time, dear listeners, stay safe out there. Write to your politicians. We want responsible, reasonable gun laws. Thank you. Go Dubs.
Go Lightning.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.